This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Cranking it up to 12, because that's how loud it goes. I mean, literally, right, Nolan? Our volume goes to 12.
I'm looking at a 12 right here on the board.
That's right. I'm not trying to one-up Spinal Tap that only went up to 11, Nigel Tufnel. This one goes to 12, so that's how loud it goes. So send your song request, and Nolan McGraw is going to make sure you hear it at the highest possible volume you can. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, pitchers and catchers, a little more than 2 weeks. Down at Sarasota, Orioles coming off their first winning season since 2016 by surprising everyone in 2022. Now expectations have changed. Here to preview the team as we're getting closer, covers them for the Baltimore Sun. So in the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, let's welcome in for the first time, Jacob Calvin Meyer. Jacob, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the time. And before we get to the team and everything that goes along with it, let's talk about that lease that's become somewhat of a interesting story. Orioles have till Wednesday to pick up a one-time five-year lease. If not, they have till the end of the year to sign a lease. And if they get to the end of the year without signing a new lease, you know, I'm one that lived a Colts, it'll get very dicey. I've said on the air, if the Orioles relocated, which they're not, I'd quit. I would resign on the air and just get up and walk out. I would. I swear to God, I'd be gonzo. But we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about that lease. And we know that John Angelos talked to our friend Dan Conley. He was going to open books. Leases were going to get done. We're 48 hours away, more or less, from the lease extension. Long term, it doesn't seem like it's in the cards, at least for now. So, Jacob, not to get panic buttons pushed, but what should Oriole fans be feeling right now about that subject?
Well, for the reason you just stated for yourself, I think we have to hope that the team stays in town just so you can stay on the radio. But
that's right.
No, listen, this is an interesting situation, and obviously there's a lot of concern for Baltimore fans, especially ones of older generations who had to live through what happened with the Colts in the 80s. I think this is something where you have to look at what everybody's saying, which is what everybody's saying is that the Orioles are going to be here. But then you have to look at what the actions are, and the actions is what's getting people concerned. There haven't been any definitive actions that would point towards anything, you know, negative happening in that sense, but there also haven't been actions, like you mentioned, with the lease, tomorrow being the deadline to extend that five-year option. You know, I think that's where a lot of the concern comes in, because you have the commissioner and you have John Angelos and you've got the mayor all saying, you know, glowing, positive, happy things about, you know, the Orioles staying in Baltimore. But I think, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, I think is the feeling for a lot of Baltimore fans. And so I think they just want to see, you know, this get done.
Yeah, one last thing to worry about, I guess, is what it is. We won't even get into Masson and lawsuits with brothers, because we don't have enough time to do that. All right, Jacob, let's talk about the team. To you, the most under-the-radar acquisition Mike Elias has made this offseason will be what as we head into Sarasota?
That's a great question. Under-the-radar acquisition. I would have to say under-the-radar, I would say James McCann probably, because, you know, you look at the starting pitchers that they acquired, you know, those aren't really under the radar. I think both of those guys are going to slot in and be innings eaters and strike throwers and give a lot of stability to the rotation for the length of the season. I think for James McCann, I think he's going to be an important piece of this team backing up Adley Rutschman, because we saw it last season when Rutschman wasn't behind the plate, the team really struggled. Adley Rutschman's one of the few star catchers in baseball. Obviously a Rookie of the Year candidate last year. The team really struggled when he wasn't behind the plate. And so when you bring in a veteran like James McCann, somebody who's also a good defender, a good pitch framer, I think that's going to be important for the team. What it also does is, in the instance that Rutschman gets hurt, I think you're more stable at the catcher position now than you were last season. So I think that's a move that, people could look back on in August or September and say, wow, that was really a big one.
Yeah, he was an all-star a couple years ago. Jacob Calvin Meyer joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Mike Elias was on MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM, and he told the fellas that he expects Grayson Rodriguez to be part of the Orioles rotation coming out of Sarasota. Other than injury, what would have to happen for that not to be a reality?
Well, other than injury, I guess he would have to go down to Sarasota and really struggle, which there's been no indication that that's going to be the case in his minor league career. He's basically never had any difficulty as he's made his way through the minors. So as long as he gets through spring healthy and throwing strikes and getting outs, I think fans should probably take Mike Elias at his word that he'll be in the starting rotation to begin the year. But at the same time, he is coming off an injury. I know he came back in September last season, but, still coming off an injury, still a young guy. And so, there would be more shocking things that have happened in spring training or major league history than Grayson Rodriguez not being in the starting rotation. But I think all signs are pointing to that being the case.
Hey, Jacob, how many spots are open, for the opening day or the, 23-man roster? How many spots? How many?
25.
25, man. How many spots are open?
Yeah, not many at this point. I think when you look at the pitching staff, there are probably 2 to 3 bullpen spots that are open for competition amongst a bunch of guys, including some starting pitchers who could get moved to the bullpen in long relief or middle relief roles, like D.L. Hall and Austin Both and Tyler Wells, Spencer Watkins. So that's what you're looking on the pitching side of things. It also could depend on if the team goes with a 6-man rotation. I know there's been some talk of that in recent days since they traded for Cole Irvin from the Athletics. That remains to be seen, but they do certainly have the depth in the rotation to go with a 6-man. And with the fact that they have a few pitchers that they need, that they have on innings limits, that could be an option for them as well. When you look at the position player side, they've got catcher locked up and outfield locked up with Austin Hayes, McKenna, Mullins, Santander, and Stowers. And so it's really just, I think, the infield that you're looking at with some of the question marks, maybe the last spot in the infield, whether they go with one of these left-handed hitting first base types that they've signed to minor league deals who are going to be in camp, if those guys can compete and earn a spot, or if they go with somebody who's more of a utility infielder like Taron Vavra, or if one of these prospects in spring training really just play so well that the team has them start opening day with the team. I think that maybe is a little bit less likely, but I think there's more question marks on the pitching side of things as we go into spring training than in the position player side.
All right, Jacob, now look, because what you've said is basically the roster is pretty well set, where do you see them fitting in to the East?
Yeah, that's the $1 million question, isn't it? I think the schedule benefits them a little bit this year, playing fewer games against the division. But man, this division seems to be, it's never going to let up. I don't know if I'm prepared to make a prediction, but I think you'd have to say that they fit in somewhere in the middle, whether that's second, third, or fourth. I think most people would have preseason-wise the Red Sox at the bottom and the Yankees at the top, and then it might be a battle in the middle there between the O's, the Rays, and the Blue Jays.
26-man roster, by the way. I keep thinking of my APA team from 1973. And by the way, if Lewin Diaz, whatever his name is, doesn't hit 40 home runs, I'm going to be pissed off every time that they try to clear this guy through waivers. He's Jacob Calvin Meyer. He covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, we appreciate the time. We look forward to talking to you throughout the year, and we'll be seeing you down at Camden Yards, too.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. There he is, Jacob Calvin-Meyer. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. Just tuning in. The Ravens have a Pro Bowl quarterback. We'll tell you who that is. We'll talk about that and more with Kevin Allstriker. The bottom of the hour covers the Ravens for the USA Today.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around. Today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time for the Whip Around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. NBA last night, Wizards out in San Antonio, and did something last night they hadn't done since 1999.
All movement has been pretty good here in the first quarter. Obvious being bodied, and he goes straight into the cup, count the bucket. Kicks it out to Corey Kispert, who steals it. Obvious, downhill, you know what he wants to do.
Can he burn rubber again?
Turbo Obvious.
Denny Avdija, 25 points, 9 boards, leading the way as the Wizards beat the Spurs, 127-106. First time since 99 they've won in San Antonio.
Wow.
That's 24 years.
Well, that's I guess the biggest problem was Duncan and...
Yeah, I think 99 was the first year the Spurs won those titles with Popovich. Yeah. Robinson might have still been around.
Robinson and Duncan.
Back in those days. But Wizards get the win. They've not won 6 in a row, so the Wiz starting to percolate a little bit. And they're at Detroit tomorrow, taking on the hapless Pistons. Will Barton, by the way, Baltimore zone. DNP. The Haney Hex, Norm. The Haney Hex. Sacramento, 118-111. Minnesota, Kevin Huerter, 3 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. He had a rough night from the floor, 1 for 7.
Ooh.
Alex Len, DNP, coach's decision. They did win the game. That's all that matters. Golden State, 128-120 over Oklahoma City. Aaron Wiggins, Terps, 3 points, 2 boards there. It was Phoenix, 114-106 over Toronto. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, had 11 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist for the Phoenix Suns there. College hoops last night. Texas Tech down 23.
Yeah.
Beat 13th ranked Iowa State. Your boys, Vinny.
I know it.
Cyclones circling the drain as Texas Tech stunned Iowa State 80-77. Overtime locally, Colgate 76-63 over Loyola. It was UMES 72-58 over Morgan. UMES is having a good year in the MEAC. I think they're 6-1 right now in the league. Delaware State beat Wandixon and Coppin last night, 71-66. It's something we'll talk about in the next hour with Roddy Elliott. Maryland taking on number 21, Indiana, at the Xfinity Center. A game you can hear, 105.7 The Fan. NHL tonight, Capitals are at Columbus, taking on the Blue Jackets, 7 o'clock puck drop. Columbus stinks, even though the Caps aren't exactly setting the world on fire either.
Bob, Columbus sits with 33 points. The Caps are at 58. Caps got to win this game. They're better, and they need to win. They need the points to stay, you know, because right now they're in the wild card.
Yeah, NHL All-Star Game, believe it or not, everybody. I mean, we're just talking to Jacob about spring training. NHL All-Star Game's next week.
Hey.
It means they're already they're past the midway point games play. I mean, these years, you blink, and it's like the All-Star break. All of a sudden. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. What do we got going on here? Let's start with a little college hoops. Maryland style, 1976, January 31st, this day in sports history. South Bend, Indiana. Number 7, Maryland, beats number 10, Notre Dame, 69-63 on national television. Billy Packer in the house, baby. John Lucas, 23 points. With that game, became the all-time leading scorer in Maryland history. He would be passed by Albert King, who would be passed by Len Bias, who would be passed by Juan Dixon. But Maryland gets that win. Steve Shepard had 19, who later on that year would play on the U.S. Olympic team, winning the gold medal in Montreal. Adrian Dantley DeMatha had 28 in a losing effort, also on that Olympic team. For the Fighting Irish, 1984 down in Charlottesville. 10th-ranked Maryland edges Virginia, 67-66. Mark Fothergill, left-hander out of Kentucky, hits the game-winning shot. Jeff Atkins had 15, former McDonald's All-American. Len Bias, Keith Gatlin had 14 each. Adrian Branch and Steve Rivers were suspended for this game because they got popped with $10 worth of weed.
Jeez.
And the hammer came down, but Maryland still managed to win that game. The funny thing is about Virginia that year, it was the year after Ralph Sampson left, they went to the Final Four, lost to Houston. Maryland made it to the Sweet 16. That's when they were only going to Sweet 16s, which I guess Kevin Willard would kill to do this year.
No doubt.
2002, when they won the national championship, third-ranked Maryland down at Virginia again, ranked number 8 in the country. Terps were down 83-74 with 3 minutes 22 seconds left, and then went on a 13-2 run. Drew Nicholas hit a couple of threes. Juan Dixon, game winner. As Maryland wins, Juan Dixon had 16. Byron Mouton, 21. Lonnie Baxter had 14 in the paint as the Terps get the big win down there. Super Bowls on this date. 1988, Washington Redskins in San Diego blow out the Dolphins. Or not the Dolphins, Denver Nuggets, Broncos, whatever. 42-10. I'm looking at 72 different notes here. 42-10. Denver actually led that game 10-0. Remember, the first play from scrimmage, Elway hit Ricky Natil with like a 70-yard bomb or something. And then Washington just got medieval on the Broncos. Doug Williams, MVP. Broncos were 3-point favorites in this game. To show you how things have changed, I'll give you $20 if you guess who the halftime performer was.
88?
35 years ago today. 88, we remember like it was yesterday. Nolan wasn't even born yet.
Billy Joel.
Chubby Checker. He was still doing the twist in 1988. 1993 at the Rose Bowl, Super Bowl 27. Troy Aikman throws 4 touchdown passes, and Dallas just destroys Buffalo 52-17. Cowboys were 6.5-point favorites in this game. Michael Jackson was the halftime performer here. Oh. 91 million people watched that game. And then in 1999 in Miami, Super Bowl 33, Denver beats Atlanta 34-19. It was Dan Reeves losing to his former team. Remember, Andy Reid is going up against his former team in Super Bowl 57. John Elway was your most valuable player. Gloria Estefan, Stevie Wonder, and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, whoever that was. They were your halftime fun. Denver 7.5-point favorites as they won their second consecutive Super Bowl championship. John Elway retired, and that was all she wrote.
And Reeves went to the Giants.
No, he was in Atlanta, and then he was done.
Oh, that, yeah.
All right, we got time for a phone call? Let's do it. Let's go to the phones. 410-583-1057. Kevin Allstriker. Go talk some Ravens with him in a few. Let's go get Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Bob, thanks for pointing out that caller who calls and always take up time. I'm not going to take up time. I just want to say that the Ravens have put themselves in this pickle by offering Lamar at this third season Kirk Cousins money instead of giving him Josh Allen. Think of those 5 quarterbacks that came out. Josh Allen, only one got paid. 2 of them then played backup, 1 probably in the league. Vinny, I need you to put on your general manager's cap right now after I get off. You signed Lamar after his third year to Josh Allen money. Now bring us up to date to how much he would have gotten this year or the last 2 years versus these upcoming years and how the Ravens would be better off if they had signed him then than what they put themselves in now. I'll talk to you later and listen to you, Vinny.
All right, Joe in Woodbury. Count Josh Allen's money right now.
Yeah.
Compared it to Lamar's. I guess we don't have Josh Allen's extension in front of us. By the way, the Patrick Mahomes extension signed after 2000, it was signed in January, right, of 20, after the 19 season. He got like $140 million guaranteed, correct, Nolan McGraw?
Josh Allen got $150 guaranteed.
So which was more than Mahomes, even though Mahomes was worth like $500 million.
Josh Allen got 6 years, $258 mil with the Buffalo Bills, including 16.5 signing bonus. $150 million guaranteed, annual average salary of $43 million. He'll earn a base salary of $27.5 million and a workout bonus of $500 while carrying a cap hit roughly $40 million.
And that was after 20, where they had gone to the AFC Championship game that year. Buffalo lost to KC. They've been in the playoffs twice since. He's won a game each year, but they have fallen short of their goal. They have made it back to the title game since. In the 2 ensuing seasons.
Yeah, with Josh Allen, he's got an out after 25. Now, Bob, his salaries this year, Josh Allen's 27.5, 23.5, then $14 million. You know, and then it looks like he'll get a new, he's got a potential out, which he's going to take.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So we count Josh Allen's money. We'll start counting Lamar's a little bit more when we come back. Kevin Ostreicher covers the Ravens for the USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. Stay tuned for that. And then we got a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw, who's ready to rock and roll here on this Turn It Up Tuesday.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Beat Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Turn It Up Tuesday, cracking it up to 12. You want to hear it loud? We'll play it for you. Send your song request to the Plaza Ford text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato joining us now. Talk some Ravens from USA Today. It's Ravens Wire. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome in Kevin Ostreicher. Kevin, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. The Ravens with Lamar Jackson and Tyler Huntley. That is two Pro Bowl quarterbacks you have with the Ravens right now. Now we'll see if both of them will be on the Ravens roster when 2023 comes around.
Yeah, it's not exciting. Anyway, who's the offensive coordinator going to be, though? And in your opinion, who, in your eyes, of course, who's the most intriguing candidate? And we've heard a ton of names, and we know the Ravens have done a bunch of interviews, including two in-house. Who's the most intriguing guy to you?
Yeah, there are a couple, and there's a conversation of whether they should go internal versus external. I think bringing in somebody from outside the organization would be beneficial to them. That's no disrespect to guys like James Urban and George Godsey and some of those other guys, but I think to me an intriguing one is Eric Bieniemy. I mean, it'd be interesting to see if he'd actually take a lateral move, and I know there are questions about how much of that offense is Bieniemy, how much of it is Andy Reid, even how much is Patrick Mahomes. So there's no doubt that Bieniemy has had a very big impact on that offense and what happens there. I think Zach Robinson, the pass game coordinator over there in Los Angeles. Now, the Rams' offense was not good in 2022, but in 2021 when they won the Super Bowl, they were the top-rated passing team in the league. We heard a couple of other reported names, Dave Canales of the Seahawks, who obviously the Geno Smith reclamation project. He's worked with Russell Wilson back in the Seattle days, not necessarily Denver Russell Wilson. So there are options, I think, for the Ravens. I think if it boiled down to it, to me, I also think Todd Monken is an intriguing choice. He's the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks guy over at Georgia, obviously Stenson Bennett, and also had a couple of stints as an offensive coordinator. Didn't go super well either way, but he did have a couple of good pass offenses, especially with Tampa. The Cleveland tenure didn't really work out in his 1 year there. But I think between Bieniemy, Zach Robinson, I thought Frank Reich would have been a good option, but obviously he's in Carolina now, so that's no longer an option. But they're leaving no stone unturned, it feels like. And so we'll see when they actually make a hire, but it feels like they really want to get this right. And I don't blame them. I think they kind of have to.
I think, you know, like a good addition, maybe like a guy from Philly might not be a bad option, just because, you know, with Jalen Hurts, you know, you got a similar style of quarterbacks. You've got one receiver, then they went and got A.J. Brown. You got a good tight end. You got a good O-line. I would think that would be, you know, a pretty nice transition from a guy from Philly to come in.
I agree. I think that that's another good option, and we haven't heard anything, I don't think, about that. But for the Ravens, I think Brian Johnson is the quarterbacks guy over there in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Could be a good option for him. I know that a lot of people also, I think if the Ravens were to go out there and get maybe a Bobby Slowick from San Francisco, who works with the San Francisco offense coming from the Shanahan tree. I know a lot of people want like the Shanahan tree, right, the McVay, yep, tree. So I think it's really important because you don't have to necessarily tear every single thing down that you did on offense if you're the Ravens. You can still keep some things here and there, but bringing in somebody from outside the organization, I think, yeah, if we were to hear the Ravens were to interview a Brian Johnson or a Bobby Slowick, those are two names that we haven't heard connected to the Ravens yet that I think would be pretty good options. Then it comes down to what you really want to bring in. So do you want more of a West Coast offense? Do you want to focus more on the deep passing game? Do you want more timing routes in terms of that? And then do you still want your idea? I think the Ravens can still be a run-first team, but you have to be able to bring in better concepts in the pass game, more innovative ideas in the pass game. So there are options out there for them, and we'll see who they bring in, whether it is someone who's had play calling experience, who hasn't had play calling. There are all these different trees and kind of trains of thought that you can go with in terms of internal versus external play caller versus non-play caller. So we'll see what they do.
Yeah. Well, with the Shanahan tree, I mean, that includes, you know, the Rams, the Vikings, the Dolphins. That includes all – they were all Kyle's guys, you know, in Washington. They were with him in Washington. So it's all pretty much the same, and they all have good run games. Kevin, do you know if, like, Giro, did he videotape, like, installation, you know, like from OTAs, mini camp, and training camp, you know, so if a new coordinator came in, you know, because they do like the run game, you know, that they'd be able to incorporate it and that new coordinator would not have familiarity with it, he'd be able to watch, install, and learn it. Because that's what Bill Walsh used to do all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that with the Ravens in terms of that, where they have the coaches film and they film the install during all the practices. But I'm sure they have something, or the coaching staff there will be able to get them up to speed. Because I do think that they'll want to keep some stuff. And John Harbaugh talked about it, obviously, at the end of the season press conference, where, you know, they don't have to necessarily tear everything down. And he did say even keeping some of the pass concepts in there, too. So we'll see how much they actually decide to keep. But if you're bringing in somebody, obviously the question becomes, how does the Ravens personnel kind of tailor to what the new offensive coordinator wants to do on offense? For example, how much do they need a fullback in that offense? Are you still using 3-4 tight end sets, or do you want to go more empty, use 4 wide receivers, use Mark Andrews in the slot, you know, put all these guys out wide? How do you use Isaiah Likely in the offense? These are all questions that I'm really intrigued by, because it's going to be different. I think the Ravens needed this change, and they kind of need it to be different, but they don't have to start from square one and say we're implementing every single thing is going to be new here, because you're right, the run game has been good over the past 4 years, especially under Greg Roman, and that's kind of his bread and butter, is what Roman is known for. But now you can bring in somebody else who can add a different element to the offense, which I think is just the offense got too stale over the past couple of seasons with not enough growth. And I think hopefully you bring in somebody who will be able to help that offense grow, and whether it is with Lamar Jackson, whether it's not with Lamar Jackson, you're able to kind of take steps forward now.
Now, Kevin, the thing about it is normally when you bring in a new coordinator, whether it be either side of the ball, you know, he's allowed to bring in a guy or two. That's what's going to be interesting. If he brings in, you know, a guy or two guys, then who goes?
Yeah, and that's another thing, both I think from a coaching perspective and a player perspective, because then you start to wonder, these other Ravens assistant coaches, there are going to be a couple of changes. There probably will be a few where the offensive coordinator is going to want, you're right, his guys, or at least some of them, to be in there, and maybe not necessarily bring over an entire new coaching staff, but what does it mean for some of the Ravens, maybe even guys who have been there for a couple of years? And I think that's where the Ravens, we see them with these kind of internal hires and trusting their process and really, I think, being loyal to their coaching staff. Well, if you have a coach over there who's been there for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, and then this new offensive coordinator comes in and says, hey, you know, I really want my guy to come over here. I trust him. You know, it kind of happened with Mike McDonald last year, where Ryan Osborne came in from Michigan, and they brought him, obviously, David Ajabo, the pick out of Michigan in the second round. So I feel like we are going to see that, and I'm intrigued to see where it happens, because maybe it's just a couple of, you know, lower-level hires or kind of depth players, but maybe the new offensive coordinator says, hey, I want this guy, and it's a big coaching change, or it's a big player personnel change. So you're right. I think that's a big thing to watch, too, because I don't think it just stops with the Ravens hired new offensive coordinator. It's then who does that offensive coordinator bring over from where he was.
He's Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today. It's the Ravens Wire. Kevin, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk next week and get your Super Bowl picks on top of that, too.
Yes, appreciate you guys. As always, we'll talk. I think it'll be a good Super Bowl between Kansas City and Philly. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Kevin Ostreicher. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fab. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest coming up at noon. Buy or sell? Where's the money? Find out hopefully at 12:15. And then Rodney Elliott, former Terp, Baltimore legend. He'll be joining us, preview tonight's Maryland-Indiana game. Number 21 in the country are the Hoosiers. And you get hearing on the Fan.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Kevin Ostreicher just pointed out that technically the Ravens had two Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Lamar was an alternate, can't play because he's hurt. Now Tyler Huntley is in because Josh Allen is out. Patrick Mahomes isn't playing because he's busy in the next couple of weeks getting ready for a Super Bowl. Burrow, I believe, is opted out, right? So it's Trevor Lawrence and Tyler Huntley.
Bob, has there ever been two Pro Bowl quarterbacks on the same team? I don't know if it's ever been, has it, Norm?
I'd have to think at some point, maybe.
Yeah, but usually, I don't know the answer.
How about, like, maybe Greasy and Earl Morrill or something, maybe?
I'm not sure. I have no idea. But usually a starting quarterback plays the vast majority of the games, and, you know, they would just pick a couple, and, you know, you'd move on it with it. That's when they actually, because the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl, and the guys usually play.
Yes. So they wanted that Hawaiian vacation.
And the extra money that came along with it, I'm sure. Well, that's when, you know, times were different back in those days.
Most guys, Bob, they would take that money and whatever they were getting from there, they were spending it there.
But in the 70s, they'd play them in New Orleans and in L.A. They didn't get into Hawaii till like the late 70s into the 80s. I mean, they played in other places throughout the Superdome. Not Superdome, the Kingdome, the Seattle one.
Bob, the one thing that I was familiar with was at that time, when I was in San Fran, the loser of the championship games were the coaches. So we were in Hawaii like 4 years in a row, you know? So, but the only positive about that was, Bob, it really helped in free agency because all those free agents out
recruiting.
There.
Recruiting.
Oh, you had a week with them, yeah.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I'm bringing Nolan McGraw. Quick draw, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. We like predictions on the show. We like to make predictions from time to time.
Yeah, they're even better when you get them right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a rarity on the show. But hopefully these predictions I'm seeing here are correct. Will Leach for MLB.com. People do this all the time. Sports Illustrated's done it. They predict, you know, the World Series champion 5 years, 10 years from now. Jesus. They'll make a cover story out of it.
I remember the Astros were on it.
And they got that one right.
Yes, they did.
So this guy, Will, here, he's got the next 10 years mapped out. Now, obviously, you get 9-10 years down the road. That's a little, you know, you're just having fun at that point. But for 2023, Dodgers beating the Blue Jays. All right, not really going out on a limb there. It's the Dodgers. Blue Jays, though, intriguing pick, trendy pick last year. Mm-hmm. But here's the good one. 2024, Mets over the Orioles, a rematch of the 69 World Series.
Yeah, with the same result, unfortunately, apparently.
Right. Well, he's got this build as, you know, the grizzled old team, the Mets on their last legs against the young team that's bursting onto the scene for the first time. But then you go down here, 2028 is when the Orioles break through and they beat the Dodgers. 2028, the prediction.
So that's 5 years from now.
That's a ways away.
I don't have time to be waiting all these 4 and 5 years for this stuff. Will Leach, by the way, was the founder of Deadspin.
Oh, yeah?
Remember when Deadspin was very irreverent?
Yeah.
I think new ownership has since taken over, since he moved on, and it's not what it used to be. But Deadspin, if you wanted some, they would rip ESPN all the time, take you to task. But that's that's where I first heard of him. Now predicting the Orioles are going to win the World Series in 5 years.
I'll take it.
Super terrific.
I'll be alive.
I'd prefer
hopefully this
year, but hey, I mean, you can't always get what you want. Actually, I'd prefer to win the Mega Millions, and then the Orioles could do. I'll just travel around the country following them in that pursuit. We got news from the Nats, top of the hour right now. Let's go to the Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry, one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, give them a call today. 443-348-8812.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
So a lot of people are having fun with this whole Tyler Huntley thing. Poking fun at him. Jeff in Sykesville here says, I don't even know if Tyler Huntley has a bonus clause in his contract for making the Pro Bowl. If that was even built in or something they predicted for him.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's just part of the contracts.
If everyone has one, yeah.
Well, as we sit here at 11:54, it's the top headline on ESPN. Huntley in the Pro Bowl after two TD season.
Huh.
After two TDs and averaging 12 points a game.
Joe in Baltimore says, Tyler Huntley in the Pro Bowl, that's making the NFL look like a joke. I must have missed my memo. I didn't get my invite to play left tackle.
It does make it look like a joke. I mean, NFL's got to be like, oh, my God, no. You know, because, I mean, that's the only guy they're mentioning is Huntley because it's such a joke.
Matt Ryan's probably like, hey, what's up with me? Where's my love? Well, Derek Carr.
We talked about this before, that this couldn't have been a fan vote. And, Vinny, you brought up that it was, you know, likely the players and coaches themselves. You throw in there a guy that's not going to make it to boost your own guy.
Yes.
Will this lead to maybe the NFL saying we got to change how we, you know,
to me, you
weight
got to.
Our votes?
Abuse leads to restrictions.
Correct. How about here, Stephen Glenn Burney, as far as the Orioles are concerned. Should the Orioles take a flyer on Miguel Sano for the DH role? Very bad season last year, but third base, first base option in addition to DH. He's only 29 as well.
Yeah, we lived that with Michael Franco. So it was kind of, we did that 2 years ago. I mean, the Orioles did that 2 years ago. I'm not taking flyers at anybody like that yet. That's out of if injury arises. And he's got some pop, but he's had some issues before, too. So yeah, I'm kind of passing on him right now. Now, aren't they looking more for like a left-handed bat anyway?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
And this last one here says, what would an agent argue that's different than what Lamar is asking for right now? Still hasn't played more than 12 games in two consecutive seasons and is asking for an undeserved guaranteed sum of money. Would his agent really have been able to convince him to take anything else?
I would say he would have tried, you know, just because I've been sat there so many times when, you know, agents tell the guys, listen, they don't do, we can get certain stuff, but we cannot get a total guarantee. They won't do it. You can, till you're blue in the face, they're not going to do it. So what else do you want? Because what I'll try to do is get other things to make up for not being able to get that. You know, it's all about, it's a negotiation. All right, they won't do that. All right, what do we got to have if we can't have that?
Yeah, they appear to be at a stalemate. If you forgot Eric DaCosta's comments about Lamar and these contract negotiations, they're coming up next. News from the desk, going to count some money, hopefully buy or sell. Rodney Elliott, former Terp, former Dunbar star, preview Maryland, Indiana tonight. That tip-off is at 9 o'clock at the Xfinity Center. You can hear it, 105.7 The Fan. Scott Petrak, he'll be rejoining the show from the Brown Zone. So you got Cincinnati's won the division 2 years in a row. Ravens made the playoffs this year. Browns didn't really have any momentum to speak of. Then you got Jadeveon Clowney popping off at the end of the season, which got him suspended. Yeah. So we'll get in all of that with where is Cleveland, I guess. What's their offseason looking like? And as we look at the pecking order of the AFC North, are they first, are they last, or somewhere in between? Because as Ricky Bobby's dad said famously, if you're not first, you're last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.